Welcome to the Gear Garage Live Show. This weekly YouTube show covers whitewater rafting, river safety,
oh God, I lost my paddle,
gear, and anything else Zach feels like rambling on about.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Gear Garage Live Show. This is where I answer questions that have been submitted or that we get throughout the week. There's a bunch of them, so we're going to get started pretty quick. Oh, the one thing I want to mention before I do, I know there's like one thing. So, starting to offer our own rescue classes. There's our own curriculum, no certification. We have one for private boaters designed for rafting, kind of oriented towards rowing and multi-day, but good for all rafting. And a separate one for river guides with a Rescue 3 certification for those of you that need it. This is kind of in response to, I'm just like mildly unhappy with the current state of rescue courses. And I can go into that later. I probably will. But there's just topics that are being covered that I don't think are valuable. And there's some topics being covered that I personally think are making boaters less safe. An example is the strainer drill. A common thing rescue courses are doing is swimming over a strainer. And what they're doing is saying, hey, if you see a strainer in the river, you shouldn't swim towards it. But if you can't help yourself, here's how you do it. And I just don't think swimming over strainers is a realistic thing for people to do. It's problematic because we're telling people not to do it, and then we're reinforcing them to do it. I did a whole video about this. When I did the video a couple weeks ago, I'd seen two safety talks personally where the guy told people to swim over strainers. Just a couple days ago, I saw a third. I was at the put in for a river I like to paddle. And I was just over, I was listening to a safety talk because it's how I learn. I get better by listening to other people give them, trying to get new jokes or more ways of explaining things. And they went into strainers. And what they said was, what they did was say, I didn't intend to go into this topic. I'm just kind of passionate about it right now. Is they said, if you see a strainer or a piece of wood, you should swim away from it. But if you can't get away from it, then swim towards it and lift yourself up and over. And they demonstrated they lift up and over. And so first of all, a commercial guest doesn't know if they can or can't swim away from a strainer. They can't make that decision, I don't think. They're, maybe as a guide or river person, we can. But like your commercial guests can't decide which strainers they can and can't get away from, I don't think. And what you did was you said words and then you demonstrated something else. And what you demonstrated in my, and what you said last usually sticks with them the most. And so I feel like that's an example of things we shouldn't be doing in rescue classes. That time we spend pretending to swim over strainers, little pipes, could be better spent working on more actual rescue techniques. And maybe we save that strainer swim for an advanced class, but there's a bunch of things like this that just make me personally, based on my experience, my knowledge, and I could be wrong. This is just my judgment that the current state of rescue classes is frustrating to me. And I see this as an employer because I employ guides. I tell them to take a rescue class. They come back and they tell me things where I'm just like, that's wrong. Or that's okay, but we need to fix some of that. So basically, we're going to be offering, we offered a bunch of classes this spring. We're going to offer a bunch more next spring. If you're going to take a class, consider taking one with us, Northwest Drafting Company. I'm super proud of where we're at with that. So let's go into answering questions. There's a bunch. Oh, here's a good one. Okay, oar length. I love this topic. I used your 1.63 oar formula and determined that I should be running 9-foot oars, not my current 8.5-foot oars. So for those of you that don't know, I did a video about this. I feel like your oar length should be 1.63 multiplied by the distance between your oar locks or your pins, whatever, your distance between your pivot times 1.63. Traditionally, people said multiply by 3, divide by 2. That gets you to multiply by 1.5. I think that was just made up. I believe a little bit longer oars are important. So anyway, I'm not sure how I ended up at 8.5. I do. Somebody told you to get 8.5 or the store sold them to you. That's just like stores, most places that sell oars and oar frames are basing this off of the multiply by 3, divide by 2 model, which I don't know where that came from. I think it's just made up and people believed in it. Anyway, I mean, mine's made up too. My 1.63 is made up, but it's based on, I wouldn't say science, but it's based on science. Sure, I'll just say science. Okay, I've had them for 5+ years and used some long lost formula to arrive that length. Yeah, multiply by 1.5. It's not rocket science. Multiply by 2, everybody says multiply by 3, divide by 2. It's the same as multiplying by 1.5. But trust your method more. Oh, thanks. That's nice. The boat is a Highside Pro 13 and a half, but as your video states, length and tube size don't really matter. It's the width between the oarlocks. Yeah, I mean, 8.5-foot oars on a 13-foot boat are short. That's really short. I mean, I think you almost should go 9.5, but that's, it depends on your frame. Yeah. So tube size does matter a little bit. Length doesn't really matter, but there are factors beyond distance between the oarlocks that do matter a little bit, but a tiny bit. We could create a super complicated formula, but the distance between the oarlocks times 1.63 gets you like 95% of the way. Now, based on like I said, other factors, you could want longer or shorter oars. So in my formula, I say that's your starting point, and then go plus or minus 0.5 foot, right? If you have good oar management, I would say go up plus 0.5 foot. If you have bad oar management, go minus 0.5 foot. So 8.5 is within the realm of what I say is okay. Anyway, how much power do you feel I'm giving up if I leave as is? Oh, I think you're losing a decent amount of power. Yeah. I handle oars well, have been boating for 40+ years and mostly run the road to Deschutes, Maine, and the Middle Fork. I mean, you're just giving, I don't know how much power, but I mean, I watch people row with the wrong size. Well, I can just see it. I can just watch somebody and they're whiffing air, their hands are too high, or they're rowing out here, which is bad for your shoulders. They're definitely giving up power. That's for sure. Honestly, like if it was me, knowing it's a 13.5-foot boat, I'd run 9.5. So I'd run a little long and you'd really feel the power then. That's just me. If you've been boating for 40 years, you can handle 9.5. All right. And then I see you're doing row your own to the Middle Fork. I may have to consider that as permits remain elusive and I'm not getting any younger. We don't do row your own to the Middle Fork. I'm not sure where people keep telling me they think we do. We don't. We have a page about it that's kind of hidden. When people ask us to row their own boat, we send them this page to try to qualify them and give them expectations. But row your own to the Middle Fork are super problematic and they're just logistically hard. We've had a lot of people row their own boats and their expectation of the trip doesn't match with what we can provide. And then they end up affecting other people's trips. So we're very hesitant to do your row your own. I know Agapod does it a bunch and they're more willing to. It's a company called Agapod. I think there's a few more that are. We only do it for people we know well. I'm sorry. I know that might sound elitist, but we just had too many people come on our trips and it's a problem. Okay, I'm running Sawyer MX shaft with Dynalite blades. Replacing the shafts entirely would get spendy, but I see Sawyer that has a 6-inch oar handle extension for $45. In any opinion, yeah, that seems like a good idea. You could buy two of them and try it out, right? Keep your spare 9. That's a really good idea. I'd get the 6-inch oar handle extension. Then you can feel it. But honestly, if you've been boarding for 40 years, and if it is a 13.5-foot high side, I would go longer than 1.63. I think you'd like 9.5. I try to borrow some friends and try it out because that's what I'd be running on that boat. I go 1.63 and then I add 0.5 foot. It's pretty standard when I row. Oh, great question. I love talking oar length. All right. Yo, dude, do you have any more of those BMXs? I'd love one of those bad things. Cheers. Have a great day. The BMXs, for those of you who don't know, is a ducky I designed for Sotar to run the Chetco. It's actually a design. The ATV was the Chetco boat. I designed the BMX as like a kid's boat for the Rogue. And it was just a smaller version of the ATV, which is basically the Jimbo. The Wing Jimbo. Let me look it up really quick if I can find it. Wing Jimbo kayak. The quick answer is no, I don't have any more of them. But let me give a little bit of information on this. If I can find it here. Is it this one? No. Chrome tab, here we go. Wing Jimbo kayak. It's this kayak right here. And I've talked about this a bunch in the show and previous live shows. We designed it specifically to run the Chetco, to carry heavy loads, run harder rapids, be super stable. And it's like a Cronin, but just flattened out ends, basically. I think Matt and I designed our boats simultaneously, had the same idea. He just liked a lot of rocker. I didn't because I want to put gear up there. I don't want to have the rocker up in the air. The ATV was the first one I made was for Sotar. We call it the ATV. I had a bunch of them. And then Wing was able to make these 20 pounds with this that black fabric. And so I have a bunch of these. I don't think Wing can make them with the black fabric anymore. I have no idea what Wing can and can't do, honestly. But I think the if you want the BMX, you could call Sotar. Say, look up the BMX design and they can make it for you. I just don't have any money. We sold ours a long time ago. Yeah, as soon as I got the Jimbos, I sold all my ATVs and BMXs. Okay, moving on. Subway video tour report. Okay, so this one I don't usually see the questions ahead of time. This one I have seen ahead of time, and this one is responding. This one's asking about some video. Let me open up. How do I see this? Hold on, let me close. All right, I'm talking. I have to behind the scenes. Give me a second, everyone. I have to add this video. Share screen. There we go. So I'm going to share this screen, and we're going to watch some video of the subway trip. And I'm being asked, all right, I can't make it that big. Why can't I make it big? Everyone, I apologize for being so technically incompetent today. Huh. I don't know what I'm doing. I have a comment. Let me look at the comment. How far should oar locks be from the seat? Isn't it depending on the rower? This isn't something I stress out about. I run oar locks all different lengths. If they're further away, it's hard to get a lot of power. If they're closer, it's harder to ship. You hit yourself. I generally go for the kneecaps. It does depend on the rower, but it's not a big deal. You can fine tune yours to be perfect. I'm not somebody who fine tunes this stuff as much as maybe I could or should. Let me see if I can look at this video a different way, everybody. Give me 1 second here. What did I do? Oh no. Everyone, I apologize for being so technically messy. I want to put this video up, and I used to be really good at putting these videos up, but this time I'm not. Okay, let's share screen again. Subway 5 feet. All right, let's see if I can make this big. Oh, there we go. Okay, I apologize for the wait. Hopefully that wasn't too boring. We're going to watch some subway footage. And I've been specifically asked to look at certain times, which I have to now look up while we're doing this. So give me a second. Here we go. I'm asked to look at double drop at 540 and ladle flip at 725. Okay. So let's go ahead to 540 and see what happens at. Here we are. So when people send me videos, Aaron and I used to do video review all the time. And when I review videos, I'm going to be very direct and harsh. You sent it to me. I'm going to tell you what I think. I'm not going to candy coat it. And I'm wrong all the time. So you can take it or leave it, honestly. So here we go. Okay, I already don't like your line. So this is where the rapid is run, right? So double drop on the subway, it kind of does a C. It bends around to the left a little bit. You can all see that. And then there's some big waves on the bottom right that can flip boats. They have commonly flip boats. And so all you're trying to do is avoid the waves at the bottom on the right. And so right now, you're just heading straight into them. The way I would run this rapid is right now I will be turned around, pulling downstream, breaking that lateral right there. You're on it. My boat would be not quite 180 from there, but like, let's say 150. So I was like, I teed up to that way backwards and I'm pulling left. And right through all this, I'm pulling left. I'm breaking that lateral. I'm pulling left. I'm now sideways and I'm just pulling myself to the left. And so this rapid, I would enter with a downstream ferry, break those laterals, getting myself to the left, and I would just pull left and avoid those holes. This wave, you're in a cat, so it's pretty forgiving. And this wave like to flip all kinds of boats. You almost flip, but you don't. So in my opinion, you really want to, let's go back. See how you're pulling to the right even? Again, I'm pointed. My bow is pointed upstream. My stern is pointed kind of towards that left bank, and I'm breaking these laterals. I'm probably casually doing this one, just casually breaking that one. Then I'm powering through this. Whatever this is, I'm hitting it square with my stern. And once I pull through that, I'm just taking this slack water over to the left. This is honestly the cheat code for so many rapids. Honestly, like Wolf Creek on the downstream on the subway, same thing. Most of Grand Canyon rapids, you make a powerful downstream eddy at the top, break through some laterals, and you're on the side of the river you want. If you don't do that, at this point, you're just floating into big waves, right? They're just floating into big things. Boom. And that thing right there, close to a flip. If you're in a raft, that's probably a flip. So that's my opinion about that. And see, next we have to look at ladle. I guess there was a rescue at ladle. Wait, where are we now? Let's see, what minute? 7:25. Did you see that log jam though? Back there, I saw a log jam. Okay, 7:25. There we go, Wapoots. Again, same concept here, except once I pass this wave, I remember right at Wapoots. Oh, I just lost it. So if I remember right, you want to end up at the right. So if maybe I'm wrong, but like I want to pass that wave whole thing and then be pulling to the right. So I'm going to get through here, turn my boat 90 degrees. This is a nice ferry kind of, but if I want to get over there, my boat is 90 degrees of the current. I'm like a lot more degrees. My stern is pointed towards the shore. Right now you're fighting the current a lot. There you go. That's 90 degrees. See how the boat moves? That I'm pulling myself over, pulling into the shore, setting up. And I'm kind of remember this rapid. Look at that log jam right there. Man, imagine accidentally swimming into that. I think you have to get back left here, right? So I'm turning my boat again. Man, big water is what I do. I turn my boat, stern to the left, and I'm going to pull to the left. This pushing isn't really doing much. You're just getting tossed around by the waves. And it's going to be fine because it's not that hard. But if there was a hole there, I'd be pulling to the left. Okay, anyway, let's go ahead to this. I guess it's happening at Ladle, which is right around the corner. Okay, so you can see, I don't know if you can all see it. There's looks like somebody's surfing a hole there. I don't see surfing a hole. Oh, yeah, so somebody surfed a hole. I can already tell you right now what I think. Your boat spacing is way off. Like this is not adequate boat spacing to do any kind of a rescue. So although it looks like those two boats up there are pretty good, they're close so they can help each other. Where you're at, you're just way too far away to be at all, whoever this is in the video. So I want way tighter boat spacing. So somebody's swimming somewhere. Oh yeah, that guy swam right there. And now that blue boat has to catch up with the swimmer. And orange boat, if blue boat, let's say blue boat flipped, you're not helping. You're or swam or couldn't get to him. You can't be part of the rescue because you're so far back. So for me, this is a boat spacing thing. Pulling. Oh, wow. Cats are so forgiving. I like that you have that Cocotat throwback. I really like that Cocotat throwback. Right. So this distance is so large that you're not going to help. So again, I'm fanatical about boat spacing. And I can kind of see what's going on. There's somebody being saved up there, hopefully. Right. And now that there's somebody doing a rescue, we're zooming ahead. Yeah, chasing the swimmer. It's so hard to chase swimmers down. So boat, what happens is when people are chasing a swimmer down, they then make a mistake. And so those people down there chasing swimmers, they need some safety too. It would be really nice If you're, they got them, cool. If you're way closer. There, there are three boats up there. That helps. And that one doesn't have a person in it. Cool. So this is, so I guess my only feedback, if I'm being asked for feedback here, is tight boat spacing is the key here. And they did a good job. The swimmer should probably get out of the water. He's probably pretty tired, he or she. Like, this is where physical fitness matters a lot. Like, get up in that boat. If there was another big rapid coming up and you're hanging out like that, it would be super unpleasant. You'd put upside down too. Oh, geez. So, yeah, okay. This is how it gets out of hand. Is once you have somebody in the river, things tend to cascade. Whenever you have some sort of safety issue, things tend to cascade because you stop paying attention to your lines and different things. Oh, being that swimmer right now is a bummer because they're just getting tossed in this swirly water. And now this boat eddied out. I don't see where lead boat went upside down. Yeah, this is just cascading into a mess. So I'm just going to go back. If everybody was tighter to begin with, the swimmer could have gotten quickly rescued and brought back to his or her boat, and there'd be a person in that boat. Now, whoever this is rowing is, what if he swims, right? Like, you're stuck with this boat right here in this eddy. If you swim, there's nobody within sight. I mean, I guess you have to stay here and deal with this boat, but what a mess. Yeah, that sucks. And I want to apologize if I'm too direct. I'm just telling you what I think. If you're going to send me a video, I'm going to be pretty direct. One thing I noticed too is I'm not a big fan of those cobra oarlocks. Are those cobras? Yeah, those are cobras. And those oarlocks seem really splayed out wide. It's interesting. Man, this is a mess. Thanks for sharing this video. There you go. Yeah, see how that oar, I've noticed a few times your oar dives deep. It's because your oar, the towers are splayed so far out and you're running cobra oarlocks. Like, that wouldn't happen if you had just like Sawyer A's or Canyons. And if your oars are going to probably do it more. I'm going to watch now. I find your oars get like the blade goes down, the handle goes up a lot. It dives a lot because of the combination of oarlocks and how splayed out they are. Okay, you really don't want to swim here. Like, your safety is very far away. I wonder what happens. I haven't watched the video yet, so I don't exactly know what happens here. Oh, and are you wearing those cool new palm shoes? Yeah, I mean, you're boating by yourself on the Selway at high water right now. If you flip right there, oh no. Oh no. You flip right there, I mean, yeah, I don't know if you can swim to shore and water, like how good of a swimmer you are, but somebody, I see you have safety now. You have somebody right there, cool. Somebody waited, that's good. Hopefully it's the dude who owns that boat is ready to go to jump on it. But this is also a reminder of the physical fitness required to do these trips. I think people underestimate the importance of, that guy got on, cool. The importance of physical fitness you may go for a long swim. You may have to chase somebody down. You may have to climb up in somebody else's boat. Those are all skills that the physical fitness aspect is important when we're running like big water class 4 like this. And now I see, like, the boat spacing seems way too far away. There's zero chance you're going to run into them. There's zero chance. Why not be closer? If you swim, they may not even know for a while because you're so far back. Like, you want to be closer to them. This is better. This is right here, better boat spacing. Oh, look at that guy going in that big hole. What is going on? I mean, you guys, that hole is so easy to miss. Are you going there on purpose? Like, there's 100 feet of river to the left. Sorry, I'm being kind of nitpicky at me. I'm going to stop. Let's move on. Oh, I got comments. Let's see. I'm just talking to someone about this. I keep cut wood to measure for my NRS frame. C-bar Orlock 18-inch, Orlock to footbar 8-inch. Cool. Yeah, that's good. I'm headed down the Main Salmon this weekend. Any favorite sites or hikes I should look out for? I've only done the Main Salmon twice, so I'm the wrong person to ask. Yeah, I don't know. I think he asked about a flippet ladle. Yeah, that was a flippet ladle back there, right? I think. Somebody swam at ladle, which caused this cascading set of events. Okay, all right. I shared way too much information. I'm going to move on. Okay, let's move on to the next question. What camp do you think is best at high water for a small group? This is Middle Fork of the Salmon. It just depends what you want. Do you want hot springs? Do you want hikes? Do you want easy carry? At high water, I would maybe camp at a camp I don't normally camp out because the water's high makes it kind of cool. I can't think of what that is. But, I mean, no camp stands out at higher water that's better than others. Maybe Elk Bar, because it's a mile like 80 or something. It's the first of the last night camps. And so it makes your last day pretty long. And so just timing-wise, because you can do like a higher water, you can do all those miles pretty easy. Elk Bar is a sweet camp that gets ignored a lot. So, yeah, and Elk Bar. Okay. Moving on. Good morning. I want to send you a thank you for the quality. Thank you. First multi-day trip. Okay. After this trip, I was even more hooked on river life and looking at boats. I was curious if you were still recommending the Wing and High Side, or if you have other boats or brands you recommend. I'm looking for a 15 or 16 foot boat for myself, wife, and three kids. Also wondering if you guys happen to have any boats for sale. We don't have boats for sale. I did a video, I think a few years ago, where I talked about my favorite boats. Wing boats are great boats. They're just really expensive now. And so I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not sure I can justify the price of the Wing for how much they are, but Wing makes a great boat. High Side for Hypalon, their 16-foot boat is sweet. Can't go wrong there. I'm trying to save money, RMR is the way to go. I'm more excited about Sotar than I have been in a long time. I feel like Jeremiah is doing a really good job with quality. And the Sotar boats are great. So a Sotar 16, I'd probably at this point go with a Sotar 16 over a Wing 16 for a number of reasons I'm not going to get into, but a Sotar 16, it depends on the design though. The Wing 16, I designed it. So of course I think it's good, but I believe in that design. If Sotar can make a boat like my 16 foot Wing, that was the next boat I would buy. The Air 156R, sweet boat. That's what comes to mind when I talk to people that get boats and like them. That's, you know, like the Wing's expensive, the High Side 16 is great, Air 156R is great, and I think if you're on a budget, the RMR boats, they make a good 16. Okay, I live in Portland, a beginner looking to get into running white water. I'm hoping to get some instructions soon so I can be on the river this summer. Are there any businesses you'd recommend for learning to row? Yeah, my business. We do a ton of this. We do our rowing schools. Now, we're probably sold out for the spring. So if you want to do it the next month, it's going to be hard. But I'm probably not going to recommend anybody else right now. We just to brag a little bit, we do a really good job. And we work really hard at having really good curriculum, highly trained instructors. And I really believe in our program. We're very focused on it. And so I would suggest going with us, Northwest Drafting Company. And if you can't go before the summer, wait and sign up for one of our like August. We have room in August to go into class or in school. But I'm going to say us. Leave it at that. Oh, that's the end of the questions. Cool. Well, thank you all for watching. Whoever submitted the Selway video to report, I want to apologize if I was too harsh. I just was giving my opinion, and hopefully that's what you wanted. And thank you all for submitting the questions. One more thing from Mike. I found there were trade-offs to any of the boats other than the wing and the Sotar that ended up adding cost that brought them in line with the wing and the Sotar. Yeah. 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 If you get an air or high side, say add on this, add on that, it definitely makes the price go up for sure. I think one thing too, we were doing a lot of testing on D-rings the past few weeks, and I'm finding that you really want three, like when you're doing an anchor on a raft, you really want three D-rings. I think the best way to go actually is maybe two D-rings in the frame. I wouldn't go, if you're tying on to pull a wrap off, I wouldn't just go frame. I'm not going to get into why, I just wouldn't do it. But two D-rings in the frame makes a lot of sense. But whether you do two D-rings or three D-rings, you need a lot of D-rings. And so if you look at a lot of rafts and how you're going to attach a rope to them, there aren't enough D-rings to do it. So I'm a big fan of adding D-rings. All the boats I design, and I've designed a few, have tons of D-rings. I don't have a less D-ring option. So having them come with D-rings is sweet. And, you know, you don't always need thwarts, but whatever. Elijah. Oh, sweet. Yeah, thanks for saying something. Yeah, I mean, thanks for saying that, Elijah. We put so much time into, like, curriculum, training, standards, excellence, and we work really hard. We have amazing instructors. I can't imagine recommending another group right now, because I just feel like what we're doing is like, and I'm bragging here, I hope that's okay. We're at least a level above everybody else. So it's hard to recommend somebody else knowing the quality that we're doing right now with our course. And we've done for a while, like the quality of our courses. So thanks for saying that, Elijah. Cool. Well, that's it. That's the end of the show. Thank you all for watching. We'll be back maybe next Tuesday. So if you have questions, submit them through Whitewater Guidebook on the Gear Garage tab. And we'll see y'all hopefully next week.